Thanks, Steve. Nice to say. Good to be with you. I wish we were under different circumstances. I think we all do. But yeah, great to be with you.
What was your initial reaction when you heard that that ended up being the final vote?
Well, I don't think I was particularly surprised. I guess people I had talked to kind of on background over the weekend had let me know that this was certainly a very real possibility, that it wasn't a done deal by any stretch, but that it absolutely could happen if things didn't turn around and if there wasn't better information kind of than people inside the league were hearing. So I don't think I was shocked, but I guess I was just, you're still kind of numb over it, right? Like it just, you know, my love of history.
Yeah.
Big Ten football started in 1896. It's gone through two world wars. It's gone through another pandemic. It's gone through all kinds, you know, the Great Depression, all of these things that have shook our country. But this has just been the one thing that we've been unable to get past. And so here we are.
Yeah. And that's exactly where we are. I know you had to ask the question a couple of times, but some people have heard about Nebraska wants to go rogue or Iowa wants to go rogue. How important is it for everybody just to stick together and just stick to the plan?
Well, you know, again, I don't really know all of the legalities of that. I think one of the great things about the Big Ten through the years has been that it is kind of an all-for-one and one-for-all, and that different schools bring different things to the league, and that there's still an understanding that everyone kind of shares alike, whether it's financially, whether it's, you know, kind of in aligning with one another on issues, on rules, on all of those kinds of things. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I think based on the history of the league and based on kind of the way that it's always presented itself, it is important to all kind of be on board. And I think you can understand the disappointment. I feel terrible for everybody involved. You know, as you know, this is a time of year where Jerry and Howard and I are usually on our bus tour.
Yep.
And you see people grinding away. And I always say to people, I feel for the teams that don't have successful years, right, that go 0-12 because, man, those guys grind in camp just like everyone else.
That's
and
right.
We see it firsthand. And these kids deserve to play. And so I guess I feel terrible for them. But it just isn't in the cards this year. So I feel for the players. I feel for the coaches and administrators, and I obviously feel for the fans. I mean, look at our core. You and I are fans.
Sure.
We're all fans. We love the sport. We can still cover it objectively and be fans of college football, and I am, and I have been basically the entire portion of my life that I can remember. So it's hard, man. I mean, I really, really feel bad, but I think it's the right thing, and I hope that everyone rallies around the notion that it's the right thing, as difficult as it may be.
13 of the 14 Big Ten programs practiced on Monday. What does that tell us about the hard work put in by the coaches, the medical staffs, the trainers, and the discipline of the student athletes that they had to show for a couple of months to get to that point?
I think it speaks volumes. I know there were teams practicing yesterday, too.
Yes.
As the announcement was going on. So I get it. I mean, you know, I think everyone gets it. I think it tells us they're dedicated to their craft. I think it tells us that they care deeply. You know, everything positive that you could say. You know, the big thing I always say, Steve, is just how impressed I am with the people in this league, the quality of the people. And I think that's exemplified in the case that you gave there. These are people who care deeply about the sport, who want to participate. Like, I get it. Everyone gets it. I don't think there's anyone involved who doesn't wish that this was a very different result. Nobody wants this. It's obviously financially incredibly damaging, but it's also, more importantly, it's what the universities rally around. It's the front porch of the university, as a lot of people like to say. It's the most conspicuous part of these schools. And those fall Saturdays are special. And I'm going to miss them deeply.
The American, the SEC, the Big 12, and the ACC still are on path to play. Now, I've taken this viewpoint of it, Dave. I hope they really succeed and it goes really well. And my reasoning is this. I think it would give confidence to the Big 10 okay, look, it can be done, and so let's do something in the spring. Do you align with that or have a different opinion?
Oh, I absolutely hope that they can play. I mean, 100%.
Yes.
But I guess the issue to me is that kind of based on what I've been told and where we are right now, I think it's going to be difficult to do it. You know, Steve, to play right now and really to practice in a contact manner.
Yeah.
And I think when you ask, okay, well, why did it get cut off yesterday? I think ultimately it got cut off yesterday because people weren't comfortable moving to contact. Because when you have contact, you need to contact trace.
That's right.
And they just don't feel confident in that ability to do that. And also, when you move to that level of actually playing the game, you have to be 100% confident that the people that you're putting on the field don't have COVID. Right. And our testing just isn't at a place right now where we can do that. We don't have the tests where you can test everyone in the morning and say you can go out there and play in the afternoon. And that's the only way you really have certainty. So I hope that they can do it. I would love to watch it as a fan.
Yep.
And I agree with you. I think it would give us certainly a far better chance of having Big Ten basketball and maybe having Big Ten football in the spring and all of those things that I passionately want to see. So, yeah, of course I'm rooting for them. But from what I've been told, I think it's going to be a very difficult needle for them to thread.
Right. And we're going to all find out together, you, me, and everybody else, as to whether the NFL can do it, as to whether the colleges can do it, and so forth. Ryan Day said today he's exploring ways to get his football team on the field as quickly as possible, including a spring season that begins, he wants, in early January and wraps up before the NFL draft in April. Any indication from the Big Ten about what they could be exploring as to when they'd like to start, how many games they'd like to play, when they might be able to come forward with some sort of plan?
Not really. I asked Commissioner Warren about that yesterday, and I think that was kind of step two, and he was still at step one. So, and the people that I've talked to, you know, look, I think that's also going to be challenging. I think it has to be an abbreviated season.
Yep.
For a couple of reasons.
I agree.
The biggest one would be if you want to come back in the fall, you can't ask kids to play anything close to two full seasons in that time frame. Now, if you think about a team that wins the national championship or even plays in the national championship game, they play 15 games.
Right.
So could you play within your division and then play a moderately abbreviated fall season? I think you could. I don't think that's unreasonable. Could you go 6 and then 11, right? Like, that's not that much more than 15 right in a row.
Right.
So I don't think that's unreasonable. Could you? And if you wanted to do it, of course, doing it earlier. I think if you're going to do it earlier, maybe you explore trying to get teams in clusters around the several indoor stadiums that are in the Big Ten footprint, particularly if you can't have home games anyway, in terms of having fans. Maybe you just do it that way, and you play games on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. I don't think that's unreasonable to think that you could explore that. A lot of schools are having remote learning options anyway, so maybe kids just say, all right, well, I'm just going to have to be remote. Or maybe you figure out a way by then for them to travel to these locales as a group after being on campus for most of the week. I don't think it's unreasonable to think we could get there in 4 or 5 months. I would love to see that. I'd love to see it for these players and coaches and fans, because, you know, something that we all love, that they work so hard for, that we all look forward to, got taken away. And again, I think got taken away with good reason and with the best intentions. But if there's a way that we can kind of, I don't know, split the difference, for lack of a better way of putting it, then let's see if we can explore doing it.
Yeah, no, completely. Although when you asked the question, you had to ask it, and Kevin had to answer it. I thought, you kind of felt like that scene in Apollo 13 where Tom Hanks looks at everybody's Jim Lovell and says, look, guys, there are 892 things that have to happen. We're up to number 8. That's about how it felt, going through that, because, you know, obviously, you know, everybody's just trying to work their way through it. What would your opinion be on programs having, quote, we talk about spring football, fall football, so they can be ready for the spring?
Oh, I absolutely think they should. I mean, one of the things that I think troubled me a little bit, as people were talking about this, was this notion of, well, they're safer on campus, and now we're going to send them home. Why are we sending them home?
Right.
They're students. School's in session. Most of these schools are having students on campus. And again, people say, well, how can you have students on campus but you can't play football? The students on campus aren't colliding with one another.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Come on. Like, it is different.
Yeah.
It is a false equivalence to say that.
Yeah.
And it's disingenuous. And I hope that people will stop using that line of reasoning. It is different. Like, I have a daughter going to a Big Ten school this fall, and the parameters for what she can do not involve colliding with other students, okay?
No.
So, like, let's just drop that. Let's drop that notion. But they are students, and they can be there, and they should be there, and I absolutely believe they are safer and better off there than they are going home. And so anyone who wants to stay, I think, should be able to stay, and I absolutely think it's the intention of these schools to have them stay.
And I can guarantee you in the class that I teach, and I will be teaching, at least I'll attempt to teach in person, there's no colliding. I mean, maybe they bump into each other in the door. That's about it.
Right.
That is about it. Now for you guys, what areas do you and Howard and Jerry want to explore over the next few weeks? Like, questions that you have in your mind that as time goes, you'd like to see an answer here and an answer there.
Oh, man, what a good question. I don't think we've really gotten there yet. I mean, I think for me, the big thing is I want to continue to tell this story for Big Ten fans. This story doesn't end when there isn't football. There's a million stories out there on Big Ten campuses that are going to unfold here in these next few weeks and months, and I hope that we can still figure out a way to tell them. Part of that would involve previewing your teams and kind of getting ready for, hopefully, for basketball season and maybe for this
right.
You know, winter slash spring football season. But part of it would be telling the other stories of what's happening and how people are getting along without the game and the impact it's having on student bodies and on communities and all that. And so I think that becomes our goal is, you know, I think we've done a great job. I'm really proud of how relevant
yes.
we stayed.
Yes.
While there wasn't sports this spring. And, you know, we did an all-decade team for basketball and football that we were really proud of.
Yep.
We had more social media views than we had had in the previous year by far in that time frame. Our ratings were good. So people, there's still an incredible thirst for this. And I think, look, this is where you're challenged. This is where you are challenged too, right? I mean, what are you going to talk about when you can't talk about Penn State football? We're all in that same boat. And it's painful, but people still love these sports and love these schools, and so that becomes that's when you know whether you're good at what you do is can I continue to make it interesting in the absence of the biggest part of it.
Obviously, this is a day by day basis, but Dan Gavitt so far has expressed confidence in trying to put a college basketball season together. They'll make some sort of decision. It sounds like next month. The Big Ten, of course, has to make its own decision, but how important would it be for the Big Ten, in your opinion, that the NCAA from Indianapolis says, yeah, we think it's go time for us?
Well, Dan Gavitt's such an impressive guy,
he
as
sure
you know.
Is.
And,
yes.
and there is this sense of, why don't we have more centralized authority in college sports? And I think Dan Gavitt, in a lot of ways, provides that in college basketball. He really does. And so, if Dan believes it can be done, I'm with him.
Yes.
I think everyone's going to have to work really hard. I think they're going to have to be creative. I think maybe there are some ways, again, to can you cluster teams in certain areas, again, particularly because we have a lot of remote learning. We have more time. Hopefully the testing will be better. I mean, I do think that's a huge thing. Like, you have to know
yep.
that people don't have this when they go on a field or on a court against one another. And that's why the bubbles work, because you can control it to the degree that you know. If you read about what's going on in the NBA bubble, I mean, you can't walk down the street without someone knowing that you're doing it. And that's the way it's going to have to be for now, until we have really rapid testing that is available to everyone at the drop of a hat. So we need to figure out that part of it. But I am optimistic that we can do it.
One more question, and that deals the vaccines with flu vaccines, usually about 40% effective. If there is a vaccine, which they're talking about at this point, what kind of confidence would that give everybody just by the mere fact that they would have one that appears to have the same effectiveness as an influenza vaccine?
Well, I mean, I just know for me, like I'm a pro-vaxxer, not an anti-vaxxer.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, you know, again, it's hard, right? Normally it takes 4 years for a vaccine
sure. mm-hmm.
to come out because you have to try to say, okay, what are the longer term ramifications? But I guess I believe if we have a vaccine that is approved, then I think that goes a long way, no doubt, to making people feel more confident. You know, we're already seeing better treatment. We're already seeing, you know, some of the rates go down in terms of, you know, the percentage of people who are sick, who die. So that's really encouraging, right?
Yeah.
But I think, look, I do think one of the big things was just myocarditis.
Yes.
And so we'll have a better sense here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I spoke with someone this weekend and they said that really makes it hard to have a path forward. You know, I saw a report, there were 10 in the Big Ten. We certainly know of one that was very public. I mean, look, when Hank Gathers died and when Reggie Lewis died,
yes.
myocarditis was mentioned in their autopsies.
Yes.
If you have 10 cases of that in the Big Ten right now, you can't go forward. There is no path forward.
Right?
Even if you tell me that 0.00004% or whatever it is of people that age group die, right? Like, that's right now, right? What happens when they go back and play and they have this heart ailment we haven't detected? Like, so I just think, let's see where we are. Let's see what we learn in this time period, and let's keep our fingers crossed.
Well, let's raise our glasses to an Easter Rose Bowl. All right. Dave, it's always a pleasure. I thought, in a lot of great moments in your career, I thought yesterday nobody could have handled it any better than you did. Great job.
Very, very nice of you to say. Thank you. I wish I didn't have to report it.
I know.
It is what it is.
Same here,
all right, my
friend. Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Yep. Okay, Steve.